talked about was a church at Ephesus, and we talked about they had left their first love. And what God said to do was go back and do the first works, the first thing. When you first got saved, what did you do? Go do that. Go do that. You were in more time of prayer, you were more time in the ministry or doing church or whatever it is. Go back and do those first things. There you go. There you go. You already got your problem. Amen. I'm still getting feedback. So this week we're going to talk about the persecuted church, the church at Smyrna. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Now, we talked about last week, and you can get the message off the internet, or you can get a free CD just by signing up for them. We don't charge for anything here. So whatever you feel, if you want to listen to it, you can listen to it. But in that, we find at the end, he said, those who have an ear to hear. Amen. So now what we need to do is turn on our spiritual ears. Because I want to hear what the Spirit is saying. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit who's going to lead you and guide you into all truth, and the truth will set you free. So you want to make sure that you're listening with spiritual ears, not just natural ears. Because a natural ear would say, I've heard all this. It's possibly absolutely true. But there might be something this morning that you might not have caught, you might not have heard, and all of a sudden something just clicks and say, wow, it's got nothing to do with me. I'm not going to bring you something new probably. But it might just change just a little perspective on it. Or it might just click and something will say, I know sometimes when I'll read something and it'll just pop off the page at me and say, wow, I've read that 1,000 times and I've never seen it before. All of a sudden, there it is. And in that light that happens, in that explosion of light in my brain, in my soul, in my spirit, all of a sudden, revelation comes. Now, a revealing of what God was really trying to get across to me. I can't do that on my own. But as I seek to know, seek to have wisdom, glory to God, God brings it. If I want to understand something and I don't understand it, I can ask the Holy Spirit and He will reveal it to me. Why? Because He is my teacher. Amen. He can teach me. So if you go through this and you can leave Sunday and say, well, that's the end of it. I guess now I understand something. No. How does this relate to me? I want to know, how does this relate to me? How do I see it? What do I get out of it? Because what you get out of it is what you're going to live on, spiritually speaking. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm still reading it. It's a debate. And it's the debate was written out. And it was a debate back in 1930 something or other. I think it was 37, around there I think it was. And they had to picture the two people that were debating. One was McPherson. What was her name? Emmy? Can't think of it now. But if McPherson's her last name. Amy. Thank you very much. Amy McPherson. Amy McPherson was a Pentecostal preacher who started the Four Square Church denomination. She built a tabernacle that would hold over 5,000 people. People would go there and get saved, get healed, get delivered, all kinds of things were going on. Well, along with that, am I off? Oh, I'm sorry. But the other moderator, the other debater, not moderator, but the debater, was a gentleman of the Baptist persuasion. I think his name was Beauregard, something like that. Well known as a debater in religious people's Baptist ministries. Well known. His stance was no more miracles, no more baptism in the Holy Spirit, no more healings, no more. It all stopped with the apostles. I'll get a new one of these things, baby, or a new ear, one or the other. I think I'm losing weight, and my ear's getting thinner, and it just keeps, that just keeps popping down. Okay. The other one, Amy McPherson, she obviously believed in it, so she was defending the Pentecostal activity and of baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues, healings, deliverances, and miracles of still operating today. But what really fascinates me, and I read it now, and I'm reading in the process of reading it, was the two pictures that were on the front page of that written out debate. Was her picture and his picture. And I looked at it and I said, holy cow, that tells you everything. She had this big smile on her face. He was like, no smile, no joy, no serious. Let me tell you something. Reading these things, if you don't find joy in these, there's something missing. Truth brings joy. Amen? Always. It should put a smile on your face. It should put a smile on your face. We should be the most joyous people in the world. I did the other. I haven't even got to the message. I'll get there in a minute. I hope. I was at our food pantry the other day, and I was helping somebody unload some stuff. And I was unloading some stuff from the truck I just picked up, and so on. And this couple came in, and they were bringing stuff in too. And so I'm out there working. They stopped, and I heard them mumbling about our president and so on, you know, under his breath. So I said, well, you know, just being kind, nice. And boy, oh boy. You know how easy it is to get into the flesh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God dealt with me afterwards. When it was all said and boy, they were mad. They were angry. I stuck out my hand and I said, God bless you. With a smile on my face. And they may not. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, I told you not to get entangled with the things of this world. You bring no testimony of the goodness and the love and the joy of the Lord when you get in arguments like that. You don't. All you do is you sound and act just like them out there without Christ. That's what he's telling me. I am not called to that. I'm called to be a light. I'm called to be the salt of the earth. In other words, I'm supposed to bring joy to people's lives. Because even if you tell them that without Christ you're destined to hell, but God has made a way to get you to heaven through his son Jesus and his sacrifice at the cross, once you come to that, you can bring a joy even to the knowledge that if without him you're going to hell. But no, I had to get into this flesh. And it was. But see, every moment that I get in an argument with him, I lose an opportunity to share love and God's grace. I lost it. Not them. It wasn't their fault. They don't know better. They don't have Jesus. They got the Democrats. I guess you want to put it in the scales and balance it, it's up to everybody, you know. I probably got in trouble just now anyways. Amen. Let's go on. I've just confessed my faults to you. I really do. I am weak at times, and I am susceptible to the worldly enticement. And the world always wants you to get to a place where you have to defend yourself rather than defending the Christ in you. And when that happens, you lose already. You understand? Because this is going to pass. This stuff's going to pass. You get it? It's going to pass. The Christ in me is eternal. Amen. And that's what my goal is, to get everybody to have the Christ in them. They can find the peace and the joy, not dependent upon who's president or not president, but who Christ is in you.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go on. Now we're going to get into the message. Hallelujah. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. We know who that is, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. He died on that cross for your sins, was buried in a tomb, and on the third day rose again, and then afterwards he ascended 40 days later into heaven. And when he did that, he sent back his Holy Spirit, and the day of Pentecost, and the church began. Amen? Hallelujah. So he's the one talking to you, not me. I'm just reading the words. It's Jesus speaking to you right now. Look at this. You may not like this. I know your works. Stop right there. I know your works. Amen? So in other words, we're not fooling anybody. I think the Lord said it this way. He shall not be mocked. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. God's watching. God's seeing. God's listening. God's hearing. God even knows the very intent of our hearts. And guess what? Oh man, you are without excuse. Well, if it just wasn't for my wife, I could do so much more for God. But she keeps me back. It's not my fault. It's all her fault. Nah. But you understand what I'm saying. God knows. He knows all your works. And there will come a day when you stand up there and stand before the Master and look into, like I said, his deep blue eyes. I got, all right, flames of eyes, flames of fire, however you want to call them. I see it. And I see those works being thrown into that fire. And out of it come our rewards. I know your works, he says. Hallelujah. I know your tribulation. Man, they're going through some tough times. Now, Smyrna was a church in Turkey. In modern-day Turkey, that city is still there, but it's not called Smyrna. I got it written here. It's Izmir. I-Z-M-I-R. Izmir. At one time, it may still be the third largest city in Turkey right now. Remember something, when this was going on, when this was being written, there was one church there. One Christian church. Many thought it was started by Paul on his third missionary journey. Maybe yes, maybe no, not for sure. But they believe it was Paul who began that ministry there, that church. That church was all by itself. So know this, when the church and the people got frustrated with the pastor of that church, they couldn't go to another church. No place else to go. Amen? But God was speaking to them through his son Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, listen, you're my church. I see the tribulation you're going through, the persecution you're enduring. The persecution, the tribulation more than likely came because, glory to God, oh man, I never saw this until just now. What was happening was that that city got connected with about 195 years before the birth of Christ. Rome came, was there, and what happened is they built a temple to the worship of the emperor at that time. And when the church began there, the temple and the worship was towards the emperor. And unless you confessed and believed and prayed to the emperor, then you were considered to be an apostate, or you were considered to be a heathen, and you were persecuted. Now, the Jewish nation had a Jewish synagogue there also, probably more than one. But the prevalent religious activity at that time was the worship of the Emperor of Rome. Amen? Because everybody believed the emperor was a god, and they worshiped him. Along comes the Church of Jesus Christ. And these people have found there's only one true God, and his son Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for their sins. They gave their heart and their life to him. They could no longer proclaim the emperor as God. They started worshiping the one true God. And what it did was cause them to be persecuted because of that fact. Now, there might be other things, but that main focus on this was the persecuted church. Now, hear me. When America starts worshiping its leader rather than the one true God, the church will be persecuted. We just found that out. The church never suffered more in America than the past 8 years. What happened? They worshiped the leader. If you remember when he came in, they called him the Christ coming again. The day you turn and worship that leader, you have to give your full life to him. You'll defend him. You'll fight for him. Eventually, the church suffers because of it. Okay, Lord. Let's go on. Excuse me. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. Hallelujah. Let me finish reading here, then I'm going to back up. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Who's doing it? Who's persecuting the church? The devil. Whether you believe in him or not, when persecution comes to the church, it will be the devil. Now, does the church open the door to him at times? Yes. But sometimes you're doing all the right things you're supposed to be doing, but he still is going to get a chance to persecute you. When you stand up and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and somebody says something that's contrary to the Word of God or contrary to that relationship with Christ, and you stand up and proclaim the truth to them, don't be surprised when you're persecuted. Don't be surprised when people don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Okay. Friends leave you. Co-workers don't want to talk to you anymore. When I used to work in construction, when I was a carpenter, they used to call me the preacher. That was before I was in full-time ministry. I was working in the church that we first started in. But when they start talking and they start saying something, I'd walk around and they go, "Oh, be quiet. Here comes a preacher. Don't say that joke. Here comes a preacher. Don't speak that way. Don't swear because here comes a preacher." I didn't care. And I told them right out. I said, "Listen, you guys don't hurt me. You're the ones going to suffer for this, not me. What you're saying isn't going to harm me one bit. You're the one that's going to suffer for it. But you will." They didn't want to hang around me. I didn't change who I was. The world doesn't want you. And here's what happened to the church. The church says, "Well, we got to be more accommodating to the world. So we got to start accepting what's out in the world more. And we got to start talking and acting like the world. And we don't want to do this." I remember a church we went to, a large church. And they said, "We don't want you to pray in tongues. We don't want you to worship in tongues. Because we might have visitors here and offend them or might cause them problems." See, what you're doing is you're compromising your walk with Christ to make the world accept you more. It's a sad case when the church is accepted more by the world than by the body of Christ. When you look and sound like them. That's what I said about that the other day. I wasn't a representative of the church. I wasn't a representative of Christ there. I sounded and acted just like the world. And I lost the opportunity to share God's grace and mercy and love with them. I can't change their heart because I have a different idea than them. Only God can change their heart. All I can do is introduce them and point them to Jesus and let Him do the work. Hallelujah. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison. Now, prison isn't like our prisons. That was deep, dark, ugly, cold, wet, chained up in places that you wouldn't even walk into. That you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. How long do you have to stay faithful? Even unto death. Even unto death. If that's what it's going to take, that's what it's going to cost you. Listen to this. And I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. I want to take you back to a part of this scripture, and I want to see how what we can look at and see and say, okay, I can see how that can apply to me. Go back into verse 9. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. If you've been here for any length of time, you know my thoughts on prosperity. I always say it this way, prosperity is never worrying about tomorrow. You always know that your need is met. Your supply is sufficient, and if you have a desire to sow, that God will give you the seed to sow. You will always, always, always have your needs met as you operate and by the instructions of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You're working together. God will instruct you on how to handle your wealth, and wealth is not just money. Wealth can be your energy, your time that you have. That's more important than money. It's easier to open your wallet and give a dollar than it is to give an hour. So to me, your time has more wealth to it, more riches to it than your money. Yeehaw, how am I doing so far? I've got quiet. All right. He says, I know your poverty, but you are rich. And I am not against people being rich. I'm not against God and His provision, and that you can have exceedingly abundantly above all you ever ask or hope for. Now, he was talking about love, but he could be talking about anything. He said, all things are possible if you can believe. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. I mean, God's supply is beyond. He showed me. When He took me to heaven that time, He showed me that the gifts that God has for us is without end. His provision is without end. But yet He is not instructing them how to get more money. Did He? This is Jesus speaking. He said, I see your poverty. That word poverty means without money. Exactly what it means. It's not about, well, you've got a poor spirit or your poor soul. That's not what He's talking about here. Look it up. He's talking about finances. He's not talking about, He says, I know your poverty because of the persecution, because of what they were going through. It was hard for them to get a job. In that time when they were being persecuted, when they were being persecuted, their houses were being taken from them. Their main means of livelihood was being removed from their hands. So they weren't in a good position there. And so what happened? He said, but I know that you are rich. I can tell you this. Yeah, I'm on, aren't I? I'm on. Am I on? Yes, thank you. All right. What did he tell us to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What? All your needs will be met. Amen. You won't have to worry about it. You're not called. Just do what he tells you to do and you'll be fine. Matter of fact, he said, when you're found faithful a little, I'll give you much. Amen? So we just do with that. But he's talking about, but you are rich. How am I rich if I don't have any money? Can you be rich and be poor financially? Yes. How? Let's look at scriptures. Why? Because if you're rich in these things, money just naturally comes your way. Not for you to go out and do your thing and do all that. Can you do those things? Yes. God doesn't mind vacations. God doesn't mind you being blessed with all kinds of things out here. But there are spiritual blessings that are much more important to you than these earthly blessings. Spiritual blessings will keep you on the path every day. All right, let's look at some scriptures. You ready? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 3:8 says this. To me, the very least of all saints, Paul's writing, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. When you have Christ in you, you're rich. You understand, you're not poor. You were poor before Christ. It says Christ became poor that you might become rich. Rich in what? Rich in Him. I want to be rich. The best riches you're ever going to get, here or in heaven. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen? The riches of the Christ in you. If you don't know how that happens, just go to the Word of God, confess your sins to Him. He said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose on the third day, you shall be saved. Amen? All right. What's the next? Ephesians 1:7-8 says this. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. When you have the grace of God operating in your life, you're rich. You're rich. Well, what's the grace of God? Listen, without faith and grace, you're lost. Grace. When you're rich in grace. And matter of fact, the scriptures tell us you can increase your riches in grace. The scriptures say you can increase in grace and peace in the knowledge of God. You can increase. That means you can get richer in grace. The more you operate in grace and out of grace, the more power of God is available to you. Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. There's not one thing he did except by the grace of God. Not one thing Jesus did except by the grace of God. And if you're going to operate in the kingdom of God and you want to be a child of God, you're going to have to be rich in grace. Amen? All right. James 2:5. Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? So what's He saying? You want to be rich? Then walk by faith. Live by faith, not by sight. Rich people live by faith. The poor live by fear, doubt, unbelief. You want to be rich? Start learning to walk by faith. I don't know what to do. Get in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So what do you do? Get into the Word, read the Word, and as we say all the time, read it out loud, because the first one's going to hear it is you. Your life will never change in Christ unless faith is operating in you. Amen? It's just not going to change. Hallelujah. Without faith, you're poor. You ready? Going to Romans 11, 33 through 36, says this. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. Praise God. You're rich when you have the wisdom and the knowledge of God operating in your life. I want to know how He works, and I want to know the wisdom of God is telling us how to work it down here. We need to learn to walk by faith down here, but we have to learn. Moses said it this way, Lord, I want to know Your ways. He said, we need to know who You are. We need to know, not just, what did the Lord say in Matthew 21? He said this, He said, in that day you'll say to Me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons, done these wonderful miracles in Your name? And He said what? Get away from Me, you worker of iniquity. What did He say? I never knew you. That means He had no knowledge of you. That word knowledge is an intimacy. And so in order, when we have knowledge of God, we have that intimacy with Him. I'm going to tell you what. You want to talk about rich? Hey, let me ask you a question. Just out of curiosity. Would you rather have a working knowledge with someone like, the Koch brothers, who's billionaires. They're billionaires, conservative brothers, billionaires. A working knowledge, getting close to Him, got all that money, possibly, I believe, to be Christian, won't say 100%, or some bum on the street who's not saved. Not me. I'll take the billionaires. I'll take the billionaire. Not because they're better. Nah, if they're Christian and they're conservative, I'd rather walk with them with their billions than walk with somebody who's poor without. I would rather walk with Christ in an intimate way than walk with the Koch brothers any day of the week.
Amen.
Amen? I want to be close to Him. My greatest prayer, and I don't say this, I don't tell people this, but my prayer is, I want to know You. I don't want to just know about You. I want to know You. I want to know how You think. I want to know what You want, that I can please You. How I know faith, without faith, you got to have faith to please You. But it's not just that. There is scriptural things that we can see, but there's the Spirit of God, intimacy, where I don't want to quench Him, I don't want to grieve Him, I don't want to cause anything. Listen, the worst thing you can do is get angry. You know that? The Bible tells us don't get angry and let the sun go down in your anger and all this, and God, godly anger, and then there's worldly anger and all that. We know that. But I'm going to tell you, God is not pleased with anger. He's not an angry man. He's not going to say, if He was angry, we'd all be dead by now.
Come on.
Because we all displease Him one way or the other. Come on. Can He get angry? I don't want to be there when He does. But He can. What I'm trying to say is this. Look, get close to Jesus. Don't do anything that keeps you away from Him. Because that wisdom and knowledge of Him brings such a joy. I can't tell you I would rather spend 1 second in His presence than all the things down here, all the movies you go to, all the things you can do out there in the world. One time, 1 second in His presence, it brings such a joy. Such a joy. He was talking to me during worship, and I was going, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's good, cool. Man, that's great. I'm talking to him. This is great. Oh, because I saw it. There's a great army coming. Amen?
Yes.
The Master's building it. Sometimes you say, but Lord, shouldn't we build it this way? He said, no, it's My army. I'll build it the way I want.
Amen.
But shouldn't we do it this way? No, no, I didn't ask you to do it that. You just do what I told you to do. I will take care of the rest of it. Oh. I get excited with those things. Amen? All right. Ready? Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy. Woohoo! Praise God. Because of His great love with which He loved us. His mercy. Listen to me. If you're not rich in mercy, you're in trouble. His mercy is new every morning.
Yes.
Mercy. If His mercy, and you're not operating in His mercy, you're going to walk around with the same face that other guy had. I never get my way. I know people like that. Don't you, Dee? What about me? What about me? That's Diane's favorite saying. Being rich in mercy. Listen to me. God forgives you when you're willing to confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to show you mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
He will throw your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, never again. Ah, mercy. When you operate in the mercy of God, listen to me what I tell you. You give mercy to others.
Amen.
If God's forgiven you, don't you look on someone else and condemn them. You understand? I'm going to tell you what. He's not like that. He don't like that stuff. No. No, he doesn't. No. Remember that parable? One was forgiven by the master, and then he went out and threw the other guy in jail. Don't. You receive mercy. Freely you have received, freely give mercy.
Amen.
Freely you have received forgiveness, freely give forgiveness. Yeah, but you don't know what they said, what they did. It doesn't matter. Don't you allow the enemy to use that against you. You are rich in mercy. And if you're rich in mercy, give mercy. You're not going to run out of it. You don't have to worry about having enough for yourself. There's always a sufficient supply. You ready? Let's look at a couple more. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience? Ooh. Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Or, let me read it again. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience? I know there are Christians, nobody in here obviously, who think just because God doesn't beat them up over the head with a hammer because they're doing certain things that God doesn't care or see. God is long-suffering. God is patient. What I believe the Lord told us earlier was that He's working some things out in people's lives. But do not take Him for granted. Do not think just because you did this that God isn't looking, because He's about to bring correction. Not because He hates you. Because He loves you. But know this, when you are rich and experiencing, and not only experience, but giving the kindness of God, the patience of God, and the tolerance of God. Be tolerant to those who haven't got up to your level of perfection yet. Amen? There's people out there like that, believe it or not. Not everybody as spiritual as you. Not everybody got to that place yet where you're right up there on the throne with Jesus, sitting up there. I know that's what He said. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. And praise God. But you know what? God got you there. He'll get us there.
Amen.
Be tolerant. Be patient. Be patient. And that's hard. I've learned that. I am there. I call those things that aren't as though they be.
Amen.
I'm proclaiming them. They laugh because people who know me know that I have a problem with patience. But that's his problem, not mine. I gave it to him. I said, deal with it, Lord. I accept the way he does it, though. You understand what I'm saying? I'm accepting. Once I say, Lord, I want to operate in patience like you do. I want to be long-suffering towards others like you are. I want to be tolerant towards those things. That world out there, they don't know him. They don't know him. So I can't keep judging them and condemning them and tearing them down. They're going to pay the price. If they don't get it right with him, they're going to pay the price. And it's eternal price. You don't want that for them. Even Jesus gave his life for them. He died for them. He gave everything for them. We don't have to accept the way they do things. We don't have to hang around them and while they're doing that junk. And I hope you don't. Because eventually it can affect you. But once you recognize that, try a little more patience with them, a little more tolerance towards them and one another. Amen? Hallelujah. So when you're operating that, you're going to be very rich. One more. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:10. You know this scripture. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I know that's not in the vein of what we were talking about, but I wanted to bring that out, that money is not a bad thing. You understand that? Money is not a bad thing. Having money is not a bad thing. All right? It's when you covet money, when you go running after it, when you desire it, and all you can think of is to have more money, I can buy more things, and I can do what I want to do, and I'm not going to be bothered anymore. That means you're poor. I'm going to start doing some messages on finances one of these days. God says there's a spirit of poverty on people. A spirit of poverty is you have a mental problem. You don't realize what money really is all about. All you see it as something that you can't get a hold of and you want it. Thinking that money is going to bring you riches. It's not. Money just comes, money goes. Can you get what you need from God? He supplies all your needs. He said you have not because you ask not. When you ask amiss. You ask for your own selfish motives. When your purpose in your heart is to know him, to make him known, trust me when I tell you this, you will never lack any good thing to do the work God's called you to do. He'll make sure you got it. I'm telling you, we've been here for, you know what? God keeps us. We've been up where we've had to put chairs out on a Sunday morning. Right in this place. And we've been down. Where we haven't had that many people. But God has kept us.
Amen.
That doesn't change. You understand that? Why? Because our riches are in him, not in this world. Then how come, you know, you're not It's not important. God's doing something that we can't see, but I know he's working. In your life, my life. But I want you to get at the bottom line of this whole thing. I don't care how poor you are financially. You can be the richest people in this world.
That's right. Amen.
And nobody, not one person, can buy what God has given you freely. Not one person.
Amen.
You cannot buy it. You cannot steal it. You cannot take it. You cannot beg for it. It's freely given, freely received.
Amen.
You can be the richest person that ever was. To the point you have such an overflow of the goodness of God in your life, you freely let it flow and give to others. Praise God.
Amen.
Done.
Amen.
You're rich.
Amen.